This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. Raleigh Little Theater tackles racism, social justice, and intolerance in their latest production. Blood at the Root is the work of award-winning playwright Dominique Morisseau. It's inspired by the case of the Gina Six. More than a decade ago, students at Gina High in Louisiana found nooses hanging from a tree at the school. That led to rising racial tensions and violence. Six black students were charged with attempted murder. Blood at the Root uses the case as a lens to examine the American penal system and the social norms that may contribute to unequal treatment under the law. The show opens at the Raleigh Little Theater tomorrow night, and joining us from the production is the director, Lamarev Jones. Welcome to the State of Things. Good to have you here.
Good afternoon, Frank.
Also with us, Asia Slade, who plays the role of Ray Lynn. Asia, welcome.
Hello.
Good to have you. Carl Staub plays Colin.
Thank you for having us.
Good to have you here. Lamarev, tell us about what you knew about the story of the Gina Six. And now it seems like so long ago, but boy, when it was happening, it was an incredible story.
Yes, it was quite the media firestorm. I was 23. I was a year out of college when it happened. And I recall, like I said, a lot of the media coverage focusing on the black students that had assaulted this young man, but there was no mention of the inciting incidents that had led up to that event.
Remind us of those incidents.
Yes. The play does a good job of sort of dramatizing and truncating the events, but basically the school was very segregated, and there were certain areas in the public space where it seemed as though only white students hung out, a tree being one of those. And, you know, it's hot in Louisiana, and trees are nice for shade. And apparently a black student at an assembly asked a question about whether that was a white-only tree, and was actually thrown out of the assembly and considered to have been trying to start a ruckus. And then the next day or a few days after that event, nooses appeared on the tree. And so there were a lot of sort of smaller incidents between the white students and the black students, some fights, some on campus, some off campus, but it sort of grew into this event where six black students supposedly jumped this white student and beat him up pretty badly, and he ended up in the hospital. And so the DA of Gina at the time decided that he was going to charge them with attempted murder and that he was going to charge them as adults, even though they were obviously still juveniles.
Right. And so that and as you say, the case was a firestorm as mm-hmm. we began to examine these social norms, attempted murder for what is a high school fight, incited by mm-hmm. a powerful racial imagery mm-hmm. and
that
racist,
was not seen
racist
as violence.
Imagery.
Absolutely.
That was not seen as violence, hanging a noose from a tree. Not at all. In fact, it rarely entered the story. So, mm-hmm. so talk about the treatment, because the play itself doesn't actually retell this entire story mm-hmm. in it exactly, right? So, talk mm-hmm. about the ways in which it's been modified.
Sure. The play is focusing on the events leading up to the fight, with the fight sort of being the culminating event, and then the protests that happened during that period of time. So it actually starts, we meet Raylan, who you'll hear from in a moment, who is the sister of one of the football players that ends up being a part of this event. And she sort of takes us through the culture of the high school and, you know, how everyone has their groups that they hang out with. And, you know, that's just the way it is, and we don't try to change it. And Raylan sort of has this protester social justice spirit that's already bubbling up in her. And so we sort of follow her through the play as these events happen to not only her friends, but to her brother. And these sort of lines are drawn not just racially, but also by class and yeah, by high school, by the high school event.
You're listening to The State of Things, and I want to welcome those listeners who have just joined us after hearing from the hearings on Capitol Hill today. If you've just joined us, we're talking about Raleigh Little Theater's production of Blood at the Root by award-winning playwright Dominique Morisseau. It's a play that is inspired by the case of the Gina Six, and I was talking just now with the director of that play, Lamarev Jones, who is describing some of the incidents behind the episode itself that happened happened in 2006, late 2006. It came to media attention in 2007. Six black students charged with attempted murder after a fight in which one white student was hurt. Racial tensions had been rising. The students were charged with attempted murder, and that became the genesis of the news story. And now we hear about the play. Let's talk about this play and your role in it. Asia, talk about your role as Raylan in this play.
Raylan is a very, like, headstrong character. She knows what she wants, and she has this very strong moral compass, which I think guides her through the play. And she has kind of a black and white description of what is right and what is wrong, and that can get her into trouble sometimes, but it helps guide her in her decisions throughout the play. It's been a
joy. Describe her. Who is she in this play?
She is the sister of one of the boys that is arrested as part of the case. So she's introduced as, like, the first character that you see on stage. And she is, she protests against what is happening for her brother and what's happening at her school. So she kind of leads the audience through what's actually going on.
Can you do a scene for us?
Yeah. So this is Raylan's opening monologue. You know what day today is? Today, a hot as hell day at school. Today, the day my 10-page paper in Miss Lawson's class is due and I overwrote and have 11. My brother says I'm the only person he know that do more homework than I'm given. Today, I don't care what's on the lunch menu because I probably ain't eating it no way. Today, different. Today got weight to it. Today makes 3 years since my mama passed. Today I woke up to the sound of my daddy crying even though he pretended like he wasn't. Today my brother ran out of the house before breakfast was finished talking about he wasn't hungry. Today I ate all the extra flapjacks just so I wouldn't waste no food because mama used to hate that. Today can't be like no other day. Today's gotta mean something different. Today's gotta count for something. You gotta live life on the edge. That's what mama always say. Used to. Break a rule or 10 so you remember ain't nothing more powerful than your own will. People with no will, apathetic, that's what she say. Apathy. Ain't nothing worse than it. Gotta have passion. Even if it's for selling drugs, at least that's activity. You can always take that energy and turn it into something positive, but just sitting back, sucking up air, and not participating in the world around you. Ain't nothing more selfish than that. I'm going to participate. I got to. Today is hotter than the devil's ass. Today is the first day of autumn equinox. Today the trees is all full of color. Today a day for change. Today I'm going to break a rule or 10 to stamp out the apathy. Today I'm announcing my decision to run for class president. Rule break number one.
That's Asia Slade, who's playing Raylan in The Blood at the Root. It's a play that debuts tomorrow at Raleigh Little Theater. I'm here with director Lomera Jones and actor Carl Staub, who plays Colin. Talk about how much did you know, Asia, about, do you remember the story itself? Were you too young to remember all that?
I think, too young to remember the actual story, but, like, just reading about it, it felt like something that could happen very, like, in my high school that I went to. Like, it didn't feel far removed at all from what, like, I grew up in the South, like, and what I grew up around. It didn't feel very far removed at all.
In this play itself, as you got into the character, how did you approach the character? There's the news story that maybe, you know, somebody may have been talking about. There's your own experience. How did you approach this character as an artistic challenge?
Yeah, I definitely tried to not steal too much from the actual news event because I wanted to make sure that the character was my own and that I wasn't, like, copying anyone that I saw in, like, a news interview or anything like that. And I think Raylan in many ways is very similar to who I am as a person, so it wasn't very hard for me to find a version of myself that most fit that character. And so it was pretty easy to step into those shoes. There were certain things that I had to, like, rework and shape a little bit, but that character was very accessible for me personally.
Yeah, and it's interesting to hear you say that it's not unfamiliar enough to you to make you think it couldn't happen in your own high school.
Yeah, most definitely. Like, I was reading it and I was like, this feels like it could happen today, right now. And I think the fact that it's a story that happened in 2006 is so important because so often we look at race from, like, this far off view of something that happened so long ago, but it's not, and it's still pertinent today.
Carl, tell me about your role as Colin. Who's Colin?
So Colin is a transfer student who transferred in the middle of his senior year to Cedar High, where Raylan goes to school. And he is somewhat unaware of all that is happening. He kind of gets thrusted in, and Cedar High is very segregated, very divided. Colin just comes to this school. He's the quarterback on the football team, and he's a little unaware of it all. He's new to the school, and he's shy. Raylan is one of the first people at the school who reaches out to him. They have lockers near each other. They have a conversation because she wants to run for class president, and she's trying to, you know, garner votes, talk to people. And with that, a friendship sparks out of that in this crazy time.
I wonder if I could ask the two of you to do a scene for us, can I?
Sounds great.
You believe all that happened yesterday?
About that tree?
Policemen come up and tell us to get out of there like we was criminals or something.
I saw it. It was like 10 of y'all. Looked like something out of Civil Rights or something.
Felt like it, too. Only thing missing was the dogs chasing us.
Seem unnecessary, you ask me. They ain't need to do all that. Just let folks be where they want to be. Do what they want to do. Don't gotta be all that police and DA and none of that.
You come to this school at a crazy time. Or maybe you right on time. I ain't sure yet.
You got a lot of fight in you. I can tell.
Fight in me?
Like, for belief or something. That seemed like a good thing.
Guessing I get that from my mama. My daddy says she used to find injustice in everything. Write a letter to the supermarket if there weren't enough fresh groceries. Write a letter to the transport authority if the buses weren't on time. Write a letter to the mayor if there were too many potholes in the street.
Sound like she stay busy.
Used to. She's gone now.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's all right.
I like you.
Oh.
Sorry, I ain't mean
no,
to.
No, it's okay.
It's just,
I mean, I ain't never been with no boy that looked like, I mean, my friend Aisha, she white, and her boyfriends be whatever race she feel like being that day, but me, I never thought to be with no boy that looked like, I mean, maybe, but I just ain't never thought.
No.
Oh, you wasn't meaning. Oh, God, I'm so... Oh, Jesus.
Ray,
I feel stupid.
You ain't stupid.
Of course you wasn't meaning. I mean, why would you?
It ain't that. It's just...
Just as friends, right?
Well, yeah.
Great. Got it. Gotta go.
Ray, wait.
What?
It ain't you.
You keep saying that.
Because I mean it.
Well, what's it mean? It
means I'm...
You what? Oh, you mean you don't like... I mean, ain't attracted to...
Don't want
to
talk about this no more.
I didn't know you was that way.
That way? What way is that?
I mean, I ain't trying to offend you or nothing, just...
Psh, I gotta get going.
Colin.
I said I gotta get going.
Okay.
Decided I was gonna vote for class president. Was planning on voting for you, just in case you were wondering.
Asia Slade as Raylan, Carl Staub as Colin, part of the ensemble performing in Blood at the Root, debuts tomorrow at the Raleigh Little Theater. Lamarev Jones is director. She's with us as well. Let me ask you, Carl, the same question that I asked Asia, which is how aware of the story were you when it was a news event, and how did you, you know, sort of approach your character?
To be honest, I was completely unaware of the news event. I was rather young when it had happened. Yeah. And when we started diving into it and going into making Colin's character, it's interesting. The playwright took a lot of liberties with Colin. A lot of the news stories that you see revolving the actual case will show the beating that the actual person took in the case. But the way that she fleshes out Colin's character gives him this depth there. The play tackles both racism and homophobia at the same time, and the back and forth, the conversation on that is really powerful.
That complexity, Lomarev, and the fact that there is a personal dynamic. We're talking about high school kids here who attract to each other and are awkward at the locker and how they're going to try to express each other. There's a very personal dynamic, which is what makes, which is what lifts it off the headlines and turns it into something that's much more powerful.
Absolutely, and... No one in our cast is, everyone in our cast is 23 and under, so they're still very close to those experiences. It was really wonderful. We had a huge turnout in terms of auditions, and they were all Most of them were all people that were either, you know, in college age or still in high school. So a few of our cast members are still in high school and are living this kind of dialogue every day.
Yeah, I wonder how you direct that. It's always an interesting question for me, and I think a challenge for directors when you've got these personal dynamics that need to shine through. Mm-hmm. But the power of the story, particularly if you did live through it, mm-hmm. you can really dominate your consciousness. And so how do you find that balance in the production?
We started, our first week of rehearsal was just table work. We had a lot of discussions, because what I think one of the things that is important about this play is that there is a historical context that these stories like these exist in that young people just don't have an awareness of. I'll give you a really quick example. You know, even just talking about the history of lynchings and what those types of events were, in the, you know, late 19th, early 20th century. And, you know, and even just things like there's a character that says the words, "Yes, sir, boss." And me saying to that actor, who I think Brenna is 19, "Do you know what that is a reference to?" And she's saying, "Oh, yeah, because he's my boss." And that, you know, that's just me mocking him. And I said, "But do you know what that's a reference to? Do you know that that's a reference to minstrel shows where, you know, where white people dressed up in blackface?" And she went, "No." And so we spent the first week just going through all of the text and saying, "Do you know the historical context of what we're talking about here? And not just what is this character saying in this moment? What is this character referencing?" And that was a really powerful thing, because, like I said, we have cast members as young as 16. Yeah. So some of them weren't alive.
Well, and iterations of lynching are still taking place today, mm-hmm. In the form of police violence. In the middle 20th century, it was happening as well. And mm-hmm. as Asia has just said, you know, it could happen at her high school. So it's palpable, but in many forms.
Absolutely.
It's important to bring the various forms in which this history has played out. And movement, not just blocking, but movement plays an important, almost in the sense of dance, plays a role in it.
Absolutely, yes. And my background is actually in, some of my grad work is in choreography. So I think that's one of the reasons Patrick approached me, is because I do a lot of choreography in high schools here in the area, and dance and movement has always been how I approach any type of play, regardless of whether it's a musical or a straight play. So there's a lot of, I hesitate to use the phrase interpretive dance, but there's a lot of interpretive dance that is set against some of the news stories that the school newspaper is writing, and there's also a moment at the top of the show where everyone sort of gets to prepare themselves and put on whatever armor they are adapting to get through the school day through dance as
well. It's a fascinating thought. What role does that play? How does that integrate and help tell the story?
It's just a different language. You know, we have this text that, you know, is telling the story, and then the way that the bodies appear in the space is also telling a story and giving us relationship information. You know, how close, Colin and Raylan are to each other in a moment, and then how that expands. So even just, you know, it's really just taking blocking and sort of heightening it in a very interesting way and saying, you know, if this text had subtext and that subtext was movement, what would it look like?
You can find out what it looks like if you see Blood at the Root, which opens tomorrow at the Raleigh Little Theater and runs through October 13th. Lomarev Jones is the director. Asia Slade plays Raylan. Carl Staub plays Colin. And as they say, Blood at the Root, Raleigh Little Theater, runs through October 13th, starts tomorrow, and we have it all at our website, stateofthings.org. Thank all of you for being on the program.
Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Coming up, The Art of Cool kicks off tomorrow in Durham. We're talking to Yolanda Raybon and Alan Thompson of Zoo Crew. All of that on The State of Things next. Stay with us.